Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:31. We first met Stuart Tuckwood, and even met him a few times, really, in his role as an NHS nurse, a Unison rep, and Cambridge Green Party policy officer. Now he is heading to Myanmar on a six-month nursing project. Stuart is with us now. Good morning, Stuart.
Morning, how are you?
Very well, thank you very much. I'm figuring that as a nurse, early mornings really aren't quite so bad for you.
Oh, I'm just all over the place at the moment with night shifts and everything, so as long as I've got coffee, I can get through it.
So have you come in early or have you come in late?
I'm going in later today.
Right, okay. Well, thanks for coming in to speak to us. So why are you going?
I've been, for quite a long time, I've been trying to gain experience and qualifications to go and work overseas. It's something I've always wanted to do kind of humanitarian work and work with NGOs doing healthcare abroad. So I recently did a qualification in tropical nursing and infectious diseases at the School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine in London. And so I've been keeping my eye out for kind of projects I could get on to go and get some experience, because it's quite difficult to find paid work in this area unless you've got a good amount of experience. And just at the right time, there's this kind of wonderful project that Adam Brooks Abroad, which is now called Cambridge Global Health Partnerships, is running to help develop some of the intensive care units in Yangon Hospital in Myanmar. And fortunately, I was selected to go on it. So I'm going to get some amazing experience and hopefully get the chance to do quite a lot of good over there as well.
Amazing. What kind of work will you be doing while you're out there?
It's a project which is funded to help develop the way that they manage trauma intensive care in this hospital over there. Adam Brooks has actually had a partnership with this hospital over the last couple of years, and they've already run some training, but in kind of smaller, you know, in only over a couple of weeks or so, a couple of times over the last couple of years. Whereas we're going to, me, myself, and another nurse from the neurocritical care unit are going to go for actually for 6 months now.
Wow.
To work on developing nurse education, infection control, and to be honest, it's the first time the project's run at this length, so we can't be too specific about what we're actually going to be able to achieve. But the area we're focusing on is intensive care, kind of trauma patients, because trauma is one of the main killers of people in Myanmar because of kind of lax road safety and, you know, all those issues.
Right. Yeah.
I see. I was going to say, they're more likely, so that is interesting. So it's not so much a disease issue. It's more of a, I don't know, an everyday life issue. We don't want people to be injured on the roads as a matter of course, but that is above the average there, is it?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And I mean, Myanmar's been isolated for a long time because of the military rule and the kind of ban on foreigners and tourists for quite a long time. It was very difficult for medical professionals over there to keep up to date with developments in medical practice and evidence-based practice at the same rate as the rest of the world. There was also a lot of underinvestment in their healthcare. So now that it's opened up over the last couple of years, they're really trying to catch up and kind of make up for all that lost ground. And I think there's quite a lot of organisations going in and helping out with that kind of work. The area that we can help them out with the most, it seems, is in their management of intensive care patients. You know, the kind of sickest of patients they get in the hospital, because their equipment is a long way behind what we've got. I think the training is quite good, but in terms of the numbers of nurses they get to look after intensive care patients, it's a lot fewer than we would have here. And there's less of a kind of ongoing focus on education and development of healthcare professionals and nurses. So those are the kind of things that we're going to try and hopefully help them out a little bit with and rectify.
You say in terms of equipment, because you mentioned that you did the course, and is there the possibility that you do the course, you have all the knowledge, you get there, and then actually the equipment that they've got doesn't quite match up what has been described to you?
I think a huge amount of things are going to be very different.
Yeah.
I mean, as you said to begin with, I mean, they deal with a whole number of things that we just don't see anymore. I mean, some of diseases and kind of infections that we've almost eradicated, like tetanus and stuff in hospital, are things that they still deal with on a big level.
And presumably you have to be alert to these. If somebody comes in and they're, I don't know, bleeding as a result of some injury in a road accident, you have to remember all of these other things that wouldn't necessarily be an issue over here.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm sure they're very skilled at dealing with these things that they're much more used to dealing with than we are. So we're going to have to really work with them to figure out exactly what they want from us while we're there and what we can do for them, because obviously there's no point us turning up and trying to replicate exactly what we do in the NHS, because it's not necessarily going to apply over there. But I'm sure there will be a lot that we can do for them. But I don't want to set any goals that are too ambitious until we get out there, because obviously you can get there and find out that what you've wanted to achieve is actually very, very difficult. But yeah, in terms of logistics and machinery and equipment, from what I understand, a lot of the stuff they have has been donated over the years and has been given by organisations, but might not be repairable or might not actually work anymore, etc. So I think it's a whole different ballgame to what we do over here, even though the NHS is stretched at times as well.
I was going to ask about that, because we often, and I guess with your Unison rep hat on, you would be the first to say that there's not enough staff at Addenbrookes, or lots of other hospitals for that matter. Who's going to be looking after your job whilst you're away?
Fortunately, they're seconding my job, so I do quite a specialised job in Addenbrookes, so they're going to get someone to cover for me for 6 months or so while I'm out there. Hopefully there will be a job for me to come back to. Hopefully they don't prove too much better than I am, otherwise I won't have a job when I come back.
Yeah, I'd like to think so too. Have you ever, you know, done anything like this before, travelling in student days, that sort of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, I used to do quite a lot of voluntary work in South America, particularly in Ecuador, when I first left school, but that was mostly around teaching and community development and that kind of work. So I've never actually done any specifically medical work. So, yeah, it's going to be a whole new thing for me. I'm very excited as well. I imagine there'll be a lot of challenges, but it should be a really exciting opportunity as well.
Can I ask a question? So what happens, like, you arrive, you get there, you do day one. Like, where do you...
I
was going to say, like, how... accommodation, things like that. Like, how do you sort all that stuff out?
Well, I mean, because the hospitals have already got links, and you know, there's a lot of teaching and a lot of different people from Addenbrookes have been going over the last couple of years, actually. So I met with a physio the other day. A number of physiotherapists have been over doing teaching. Neurosurgeons, orthopedics people have been over at times as well. So there already is links there.
Okay.
They know we're coming.
Yeah.
You know, they're organising things for us to be there. So the University of Medicine, which is attached to the hospital over there, is going to be providing us with accommodation. Mm. But in terms of what we actually do on day one, etc.
Wow.
Yeah. It's, you know, we're going to have to be very proactive, because a lot of it's going to be down to what we make of it while we're out there. But yeah, it's quite, at the moment, it's just this big kind of black hole from the end of September for me. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be doing from day to day, but yeah, I'm sure there'll be plenty that we're able to achieve.
Yeah. What do your family think of you heading over?
Oh, they're okay. They're kind of used to it. I mean, they're not around here anyway, so they don't see that much of me, but that, as long as I get the odd email and all that, then they'll be happy. I've offered to put them up in Myanmar for Christmas if they want to come across, so...
And is it safe? You know, we hear in the news this morning of the incident involving the Reuters journalists. For everybody else going about their daily lives, the military still do have a considerable influence there.
Yeah, from what I understand, I mean, there's obviously been the horrible events going on in some of the different states where there's all the ethnic conflict and, you know, what the UN have called genocide against the Rohingya Muslims, who've, you know, a huge number of whom have fled to Bangladesh. I think for tourists and for Westerners and stuff, it's obviously difficult ethically, because you don't want to be seen to be supporting a government or anyone that's engaging anything like that. However, there obviously is a partnership between the hospitals, and we are helping them develop, you know, in a positive way. I think I'm going to be based in Yangon, which is the biggest city, used to be called Rangoon in the south, which is far away from any of that kind of conflict. So I think it is safe personally for us.
Mm-hmm.
The government and all those issues, really obviously very complicated and quite horrific what's been going on. I think I'm probably just going to have to keep my mouth shut, which is difficult for me. So,
I was going to say, your political activist side of you is going to have to, be restrained for a little while at least.
I know, otherwise I might end up in a prison or not coming back at the end of 6 months.
We wouldn't want that. We definitely wouldn't want that to happen to you. Look, if you can hang around for a little while, Stuart, that would be good. We will do some travel now, though, at 20 to 9.